County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
Hi, my name is Tina Bradley, and you're listening to the Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast. I am a coordinator for the Drug-Free Communities Grant, as well as Prevention Coalition in Wood County, Ohio. Today's subject is Wood County Prevention Coalition changing consequences through compliance checks. For those who don't know us yet, I'll read our mission. We are a coalition of compassionate community members working together to coordinate high-quality programs for the prevention of youth substance abuse in Wood County. Our vision is helping youth be drug-free, responsible, and productive citizens. Our tagline is uniting for a drug-free Wood County since 2004. So today I'm joined by Kyle Clark, our director, as well as Lieutenant Ryan Tackett and Detective Jeremy Lauer of the Bowling Green Police Division. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So CADCA, which is a community membership organization for coalitions across the country, substance abuse coalitions, they're a front runner in the international drug use prevention effort, and they cite changing consequences through incentives and disincentives as one of seven key strategies for creating effective community change. So here in Wood County, we provide incentives and disincentives in partnership with local law enforcement agencies. Kyle, can you give us a brief overview of this process?
Sure. What we've done in the past through our survey and data that we collect every 2 years, we ask certain questions of youth, and one of those areas that we try to hone in on is where do kids and youth get the substances that they're using and abusing? And we do that with drugs and alcohol, as well as nicotine and tobacco. And so through the years, we've found that one of the things kids do is they can either try to purchase illegally by maybe having a fake ID or just going in and hoping that they'll sell to them based on their looks and just go for it, or whether they're getting it from, you know, other adults, other family members, who knows where. So in that regard, one of the things we've done is to partner with our local law enforcement agencies, and they conduct compliance checks for us. So, and we'll get into those details in a minute with the officers and detectives. But one of the things we try to do in a positive way is we're not out there to try to get somebody, and I think our guests here will verify that. We're not trying to play getcha, and we're not trying to issue tickets and things. It's an educational process. We find these, I think the police enforcement is certainly, you know, a warning and education. Continued violations, though, could warrant a ticket or charges. For those establishments that are appropriately conducting their business and checking IDs and not selling to underage youth, we give them positive reinforcement by letting them hang a window cling in their window that shows that they're compliant with everything. And so that's just one of the ways we work through it. A disincentive in there at some point would certainly be ending up with charges.
Definitely, in our incentives, the fist bump for compliance,
yes,
clings are kind of a nice thing for the businesses to display. Lieutenant Tackett and Detective Lauer, too, either one here, Bowling Green Police Division has provided compliance checks in conjunction with our Drug-Free Communities Grant for several years running now. Maybe both of you could speak to the importance of this and your department's specific efforts.
Well, the importance of it for us is to make sure that the liquor establishments or the businesses that can provide alcohol are complying with the law, and we're making sure that underage people are not getting their hands on alcohol. One of the things that we've done in the past is we do pay an informant to come in right along with the detectives, and I don't remember how many liquor establishments we hit last time. I don't know if you can...
I believe, so what we do is we use an undercover informant over the age of 18, and we provide him with monies to go in. Typically, we're doing gas stations, carryouts, and I think we did 13 or 14 of our gas stations and carryouts. We send them in with a recording device and provide them with monies, and they attempt to purchase alcohol. We're not trying to trick anybody. Like Mr. Clark said, it's about education, and if they ask them for their ID, they say they don't have it. If they ask them for the date of birth, they give them their real date of birth. And last time nobody, we didn't issue any tickets. Everybody asked for an ID or said they couldn't sell it. In the past, we have had establishments that would sell even when they gave them their real birthday. But like Mr. Clark said, it's about the education with these liquor establishments and these carryouts and bars.
I look at it, too, being a grants administrator for all these years, you know, you have these audits along the way. It's just an audit of practice to ensure that everybody's understanding what they need to do. Are they
correct,
checking the IDs? Are they asking appropriate questions, that sort of thing? So, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Another one for the police division folks here. Recently, we collaborated with you folks in several different ways. Can you please talk with us about some of our more recent collaborations, please?
Yeah, recently. So last year, you guys provided us with grant money to add additional officers during prom season, specifically the Bowling Green prom. We ended up adding 4 additional officers. Even though the prom was on the BGSU campus, we did end up having officers that could go through the parking lots, making sure the youth were inside attending prom and not out in their vehicles drinking alcohol or doing things that they shouldn't be doing. I mean, as a result of those efforts, I don't think we ended up with any issues as far as the kids out doing anything. Also, part of that was making sure that there were no underage parties, the parents weren't hosting, or the kids weren't just out somewhere drinking on their own.
Yes, because we all know that sometimes these little parties occur off-site, after, or even during some of these events. And I know there's something going on tonight, too, correct?
Tonight, we are putting on our late-night establishment employee training. That's where the bar employees will come in, and we discuss liquor laws, we discuss how to spot fraudulent fake IDs, talk about discrimination, and just give them an overall, from our point of view, overall training on how to better handle intoxicated people, dealing with fake IDs, handling aggressive intoxicated people, and just talking about all like the liquor laws, like serving to people who are already intoxicated, providing a place for underage consumption, that'd be if they were selling beer at the bar to underage people.
Is that a voluntary program?
It is a voluntary program, and a lot of the bar owners send their staff there. We're a college town, and we have a lot of turnover with college kids, so they're always hiring new people, and there's always new employees at most of these bars, so they typically send all their new employees to it.
The great orientation, yeah, and even refresher, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have 27 people signed up for this year's class, so which is pretty good.
And I think this year we're also going to bring in somebody from the Ohio Investigative Unit to speak more about liquor laws that they deal with, because Ohio Investigative Unit will also come in and work with us and do compliance checks and stuff.
I know a few years ago we provided you folks with some calendars too that could be distributed to the local businesses. Can you kind of talk to what the purpose of those devices were?
And those are set up so that they can look at the calendar and immediately check a date of birth based off of the year, so they would know when the person's 21. So it'd be a quick reference for the bartender or bar employee before they serve somebody when they're checking the ID, just to make sure that everything is as it should be before they serve them.
I think that would be very helpful. I know myself, you're busy, you're checking people out. The last thing you need to do is memorize every day what a date is that you have to be legally able to purchase whatever. And I know you guys in the past have done tobacco and maybe even vape compliance. I know right now it's alcohol that is
right. We have focused with there. Our confidential informants, we've also went in and attempted to purchase tobacco products from the establishments that sell those.
Yeah, but once again, that's all. There's no games. They're instructed to give their correct date of birth.
Right.
Definitely same process used with the alcohol, and everything's 21, vaping,
correct,
and tobacco,
yes,
and alcohol,
correct,
here in Ohio.
And we don't use any juveniles. It's in, they, you know, we're using...
They had to be 18 to 20.
Yeah.
And we're not going to send a 21-year-old in, but it's 18,
sure,
to 20-year-olds.
Okay, good to know. Good to
right.
know. I didn't know what the process was,
right,
so that is very good information. You know, one other thing we did do in conjunction with the Bowling Green Police Department a couple of years back, I think it was 2 years ago, I was collecting like the soft data, the informational interviewing type information, and I did go and visit with, is it Detective Mancuso?
Oh, Lieutenant Mancuso.
Lieutenant Mancuso. And he provided some information. I know underage drinking, even though we've made great strides here in Bowling Green and in Wood County, that's the drug of choice, so to speak, with with the youth, he was able to kind of give me his thoughts on, you know, I asked, are parents providing alcohol in the home? Are they hosting parties? He definitely confirmed what we believed, as well as we had some deputies come in from Wood County and confirm the same.
Right.
Different issues out in the county. They have the
right.
bonfires that
right.
sit around and
yeah.
do it very openly, you know, big fields and so forth. Whereas here, it's something you can't quite catch, but you know.
Right.
right.
We don't see the parents serving or providing a place for the kids as much as it used
yeah.
to be. In my experience, most of the kids, they're getting it from friends. Some of them have fake IDs. They're able to get into the bar. And like I say, that's why we provide this training to the liquor establishments so that they can identify those fake IDs, keep the kids from getting the alcohol. But overall, that's probably our most common criminal citation that we issue on Friday and Saturday nights is the underage under the influence or underage possession of alcohol.
Do you see a lot of, yeah, I guess you do see some that come into the bars. Is that part of a compliance, too, that you do some walkthroughs and checks in some of the bars?
Yeah, our patrol officers at night regularly walk through bars and do compliance checks, and I know they have a little better luck with issuing some citations. If you read the reports, they walk in as soon as somebody drops, sets their cup down, and walks away. It's kind of obvious to us that probably shouldn't be having it, and typically they don't have the wristband, or somehow one of their friends that were 21 went up to the bus, not necessarily the bar staff who sold it, but somebody went up and bought it because these bars are pretty crowded at night, so... And it's hard for the bar staff to continually make sure everybody's got wristbands and stuff, but they do a good job, and that's part of the training also.
Well, I know from the part that you folks do for us with compliance checks, you know, so we get the reports back, and to us, we're happy with that. We're
right.
happy with what we see, because years ago, there were several warnings, violations, the whole process. And the last year or so, it's really been cut down.
Yeah,
and so I know this is working,
right?
And that's a good thing. That's what we want to see.
Right.
We want to see a boring report.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And we would agree
right.
with you
yeah,
on
yeah.
that. Yeah, that's we don't want to issue citations. We want those businesses to be complying with not selling to underage people.
Yeah,
right. Like I said, most of the time it's pretty good. I know one of the establishments we went into this year, it appeared one of the employees was going to sell, and the manager was sitting right there and said, "No, we need an ID." So I mean, it's working.
Great. And I know here in Wood County, back in 2004, when we started prevention education, started the survey process, so mm-hmm. forth, the number of youth, I don't know the exact figure, but was it 74% or somewhere thereabouts were consuming, said at least once during
yeah.
the last year they consumed.
And we've cut that down to like 40-some percent.
Yes.
And it's really made a big dent.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So all these different efforts together, and that's really kind of CACA's approach. There's a layered
right.
approach. So this is the consequences piece, and incentives, disincentives is one of many tools that are being used in the community.
You know, I know one of the things with this late-night liquor establishment, we do have a representative from BGSU that's going to sit in. And I know their efforts have been tremendous as far as educating the new college students as they come in, the underage liquor violations, and I think they have a program for them that they have to sit through to make sure that they know what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing when going downtown on their Friday and Saturday
oh,
nights.
That's great. That's great. Plus, this is a campus here in Bowling Green that's not a dry campus, so to speak. There is
correct.
A pub
right.
on the
mm-hmm.
campus, and I'm sure there are different events that are perhaps they're private, but I'm sure wedding receptions and different
sure.
other things that are held in the
right.
grand ballroom that alcohol is permissible. So there are those opportunities, so it is good to have.
And I believe there are, if they're 21, they're allowed
yeah.
to have
right.
Beverages
yes.
in their
yes.
dorm rooms, so there's no violations against that.
I also believe the university does a great job in letting their freshmen know that we are a very aggressive department at night when it comes to alcohol violations, so we've built a reputation of being very aggressive with writing those tickets and not cutting breaks for underagers and stuff, so that it gets out there that, you know, there's no warnings if you're possessing alcohol under 21.
That's great. That's great, because we all know that sometimes folks, in addition to they're doing something illegal, they get behind the wheel of an automobile.
Correct.
Or they're a pedestrian that does something that is very dangerous. Any final thoughts from anybody today?
Well, like I said, I know the program's working. We want to continue doing it. And we want to thank you folks for letting us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely. We appreciate the partnership. Actually, I failed to mention before we close out, Lieutenant Ryan Tackett here is our law enforcement sector leader for the Wood County Prevention Coalition. So he's part of our sector and executive leadership team, in addition to, you know, his role on the coalition as a whole. The leadership team comes together every quarter, and we usually meet, I think, every time, pretty much. We go on Zoom and meet, but, you know, it's just a great collaborative process, and we know we can reach out, like today, to get this information out and to discuss what we've done in the past. But thank you for your role in that.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be involved in it and preventing these underage sales and, yes, and keeping the kids informed and the parents informed of the liquor laws out there and what their kids should and shouldn't be doing.
Thank you. Thank you both. Well, our time's drawn to a close. Next time, we'll be back to discuss yet another prevention-related topic. In the meantime, check us out online at www.wcprevention.org, and you can link into our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts from that website, and we hope you will, and hope you'll follow us and like us and all those good things so that we have more social media presence out there. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.